You're tuned to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Brewocracy Now, every Thursday at 12:30 with City Manager John Morrow. My name is Tim Quackenbush, retired brewocrat, sitting in for Taylor Clark today. Hello, John.
Tim, it's a pleasure to see you again.
Or hear you. I see you. I do see you, John, but we're doing this on the phone today because it's just a little bit easier, and it's so nice to be back. It's been quite a while.
It has been, and it often starts this way. We don't know what kind of technological challenge is going to come our way, and somehow it is overcome. So thanks for your just smooth as a cucumber and cool and easy, and here we are. So good to see you. What would you like to talk about, Tim?
Well, funny you brought that up. It's kind of like managing the city of Port Townsend. Things tend to work out. Sometimes the road is a little bit bumpy. But you know what's been on my mind, John, is that it's been maybe 2 years since Brewocracy Now started. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe a wee bit longer. I forget. The years become decades.
It has seemed like a decade. And I've been thinking about when we first started doing this, the hot issues of the day. And I just off the top of my head, I jotted some down. And I'm going to start not in any particular order of importance, just the things that came into my mind. Of course, affordable housing, the golf course, deer, poplars, roads, our police chief recruitment. A couple of these, and you can decide, yours might be different than mine. Give me a small bit of heartburn. Because many of these issues you've talked about on the air with Taylor during the interim, but my thought about this is if you were to list which issues are at the top of five right now in Port Townsend, what would they be?
Oh man, good one. I like how that's kind of a zinger in a nice way. this is the third week of continuing a conversation that Taylor set up really through Robert and Monica, actually, as they were subbing in about our work plan for next year as a city. So I don't want to defer back to that conversation, but it is relevant because we've literally had that conversation with the city council and with department directors very recently. And all the issues you just raised all made an appearance somewhere in that work plan and for next year. So this is going to be a little bit of a hybrid answer between the things that we size up for next year and probably more than just 1 year and the things that are hot right now, top of the list. So and apologies in advance to any elected representative or staff member that I don't do justice here by trying to consolidate it into five. But here goes. I think, it is unquestionable that the supply and affordability of housing in our community is a critical success factor for everybody, whether you're an employer, whether you're just trying to live and survive, whether you're looking, to have an education or grow up here, kind of doesn't matter. We're all in the same pickle, and it really shows. So I know I don't need to explain this to anybody, but what the city can do in housing is not solve the problem ourselves, but it certainly is to, use the tools that we have. And that was one of the chief themes of the work plan conversation we have with council was what are the tools and opportunities at our fingertips to unlock both supply and affordability of housing in our town. And so, no surprise there. Under that category are things like maybe some code changes that make, density done well more possible in Port Townsend. Under that category are some of the operational things, like the piece of property we bought in late 2021, the Evans Vista neighborhood that we really are eager to build out and are really grateful to receive both state funding and as long as it's signed by President Biden, federal funding, courtesy of working closely with Congressman Kilmer and his team. So, there's a number of things in that category, and including in a conversation tonight that the Housing Solutions Network and the FAPE community is having under the tent on 22nd and San Juan. I believe there's a movie showing at 3 and a conversation that kicks off at 4. So, you know, join us. So that's just one category, Tim. I could take a breath or I could just dive right in.
Well, no, some of these are very well-trod topics on this show. And I guess the question is, from my perspective, some of these have moved along very quickly. And the project by QFC, which name I always forget.
Seventh Haven.
That grew like a mushroom out in the forest. I mean, that was, from my perspective, because I wasn't involved like you with the probably myriad stakeholders on that. But that was quick. And when we talk about roads, the Discovery Road Project is coming up. There is progress in a lot of these areas. But I think that I wonder, and I'm sure you have heard this before, and so I'll pose the question to you because it floats in the air often. Why does it take so long for government to build or process or achieve certain goals? Now, there are a certain number of people out there that use the mantra of we should operate or government should operate like a business and everything would be just dandy. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, oh, that's a great question. And I think some of it I just need to take on the chin because we can move faster and be more efficient. And that's sort of undeniable. And it's probably true no matter how well you're doing. But if you look at the regional authority funding that we allocate, just yesterday, a housing fund board met, a county and city collaborative to allocate funding to housing providers, including those like OLECAP that, is building the Seventh Haven project. If you look at, I think it was 969 permits processed last year. I mean, that was a record. Just dozens and dozens of customer assistance meetings. I mean, the team is the same size and we're doing a lot more. So part of it's a capacity issue as not an excuse, but a reality. And then I think part of it is that there are things outside our control. There are state code, international building code. There's a lot of things that we can't jump through or circumvent. And so, on us to get better at what we do. But the city doesn't have like kind of a golden key to unlock, absolute progress. We also don't want to shirk our responsibility to set the environment locally for success. And that means working with others. That means allocating funds. That means, we write off a lot of subsidy for affordable housing from our permit and system development charges. I mean, that is a decision, a policy decision to prioritize affordable housing in the infrastructure. We also go after money. Like I said, we've got $3.1 million of state funding that we worked hard to get, and grateful for our state representatives for making that happen. And same thing with the federal dollars. That's $2.5 million of federal funding that Kilmer's office is helping us steward. So we're not really sitting on our hands idle. But I think one of the things that's clear, and I think you could see it in an event like tonight under the tent, is that we play specific roles and we can keep getting better. And unless we're convening and working with everybody, the right kind of change, we could do some sexy projects and make it look like we're making great progress real fast. But at the same time, maybe neglect the foundation, actually making long-term progress. And I'm actually more interested in the latter. I don't mind getting grilled and told move faster and do more for a few years, because frankly, any significant change, thinking of things like changing the code and looking at land use development patterns in Port Townsend, is actually going to take time to do it right. And I'm not one to do a tokenistic gesture to make it look like we've moved further than we have. So part of it is, stick with us. We need the community to show up and actually work through what their vision of an affordable, high quality of life community looks like that's inclusive and doesn't continue to price people out. Our decision makers, our mayor, our city council, they work hard, barely with any compensation, to take the hits on how, incredibly challenging decision making. And it's not like just choose the good answer. There's a lot of nuance, and as a community, if we are backing those decisions, working together on where we want to go, and kind of pushing toward progress instead of just, getting flustered and saying we haven't made progress in 2 months, so I give up, or it's the system against us. I mean, you know, we really want people to kind of roll up their sleeves alongside us, and I think that's kind of what the event tonight's kind of about.
We'll just talk about that, because I think that that is a crucial component of how government differs from business, in that you have a five-person city council, but the fact of the matter is we have 10,000 bosses, or at least 10,000 people whose opinions have to be considered as you make major decisions. What's happening under the tent today?
Yeah, okay. Well, so just Scribner's error here, but 7 city council members elected here.
Oh, real, yes.
So just to make sure everyone feels included, because that's really, we need all the help we can get, and we're grateful for all 7 of them. There's a series that was put forward by the Community Build Project and the Housing Solutions Network to foster greater collaboration and conversation around housing. And what I love about this is that it's grassroots, and it's not something that, you know, the city said, we need to do this. Of course, we need to collaborate, but it's really driven by those who have the heart and the smarts and the will to actually bring people together. So there was one last month where every agency and organization, including the city, and with our new planning director 3 days into her job, got up and said a few words about how we work on housing issues. And then it was sort of matchmaking. You know, it was like, hey, if you have spare capacity, energy, will, dollars, whatever it is, here are the organizations making it happen. This one tonight is more of a, what is the faith community doing around housing? And then next month in August, there'll be one on August 18th where the Intergovernmental Collaborative Group, so the Port PUD city and county elected officials, will be convening a meeting that's less about talking heads. And of course, there'll be some positioning and some opening remarks, but really wanting to open up some collaboration with the community on policy changes and things we need to do, say, in our code to get things right for the future. And instead of having that happen in a black box and just done by elected officials or bureaucrats like me, there are ideas out there. We're a well-read community. I get articles and links from people every day. Let's put our collective ideas on the table and actually talk about it. So that's what August is going to be like, except there'll also be 16 elected officials there as well.
Wow. Interesting. And the outreach that's been done here is, I have to say, commendable. I noticed your chief engineer, it's been a while, John, my memory's not what it used to be, at the farmer's market last Saturday, I think. Gathering input, myriad of maps behind him, and he had quite an audience. And I think that is really a great way to connect with people. And it's, I believe, the last Saturday of every month. Is that right?
Yeah, we're doing last Saturday for the city booth at the farmer's market, including this Saturday. So I know staff will be there. I believe there should be 4 city council members on 2 council member shifts in the morning and the afternoon. So you can meet almost a majority of the city council if you time it right and you arrive right around noon. The point there is just to talk about, you know, what's the city doing, for us to solicit ideas and feedback, and just to kind of get in dialogue with the community. What's slightly different about this Under the Tent series is it's city supported and sponsored, but collectively with all these other agencies in a grassroots movement. So we're there as a partner and as a participant. But really, this was like homegrown grassroots Port Townsend. And I have to say that's perhaps a bit more of a draw than if the city sponsored something. So I'm really excited about that angle. I mean, the first meeting, there was over 100 people under the tent, and it was there's quite a vibe to it. So I'm hoping the same thing for tonight and for in August. And again, the city doesn't have to be the convener every time, but we certainly need to be at the table and flexing our muscles, at least the ones that we have, to do well for housing.
And John, I'm not sure if you mentioned the location. Where is the big tent?
Yeah, so this is actually where, again, talk about grassroots. I mean, this is where the Community Build Project was putting together these wooden tent shelters for the unhoused community, built on the backs of volunteers' time and actually some really savvy contractor types who know their way around a hammer and a nail. They erected a tent right outside the, I believe it's the Baptist Church there on San Juan, and it's about 22nd. That tent protected them last winter from inclement weather as they were working on those what became Pat's Place, previous to that Peter's Place, temporary encampment. So that's kind of the site of it's kind of a nice I don't know how to say this in a non-woo kind of way, but the energy there is probably really strong because it's where literally hundreds of people would gather to do well for this community. And I think the idea from this group of organizers was to keep that feeling going and actually keep making progress.
Well,
check it out.
I think it's great symbolically. That tent has done some very good work here in Port Townsend. So, it'd be good to be under it. Good to be under it.
Yeah.
So, Mr.
So I'll take a bite too, Tim, and I'll say that that we could talk housing for a long time, and of course we need to do some things. So, just one last mention. I was privileged to get a site tour with Ole Kapp of their project at Seventh Haven, alongside Deputy Mayor Howard, our Public Works Director Steve King, and our Planning Director Emma Boland. Just a couple days ago, and to see the progress being made on a 43-unit, affordable, energy-neutral, well-sited, facility that'll probably be the densest development in Port Townsend was stunning. And to walk through what will become 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units with some pretty excellent views, I might add, really good access to transit right next to QFC and amenities and near Bishop Park. And a lot of employers, it was pretty inspiring to think that is a symbol of what's possible. And so my hat's off to Ole Kapp for really having the guts and the tenacity to get that project built.
Oh, and mine too. If I had a hat, I'd be tipping it right now, because that is an enormous job. And you don't really, from the parking lot, you don't really see how large it is until you walk around the side, and it's impressive. is impressive.
The energy neutral part is phenomenal. I mean, as somebody who does care quite a lot about climate change and not making things worse, the fact that the solar technology has improved so vastly allows them to use their existing well cantilevered roof to capture sunlight. They kind of designed it to get a little extra angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that will effectively make them energy neutral throughout the year. And, they've forgone a few nice bells and whistles, but they've also removed things like, let's just build in ventilation on the basement parking lot instead of needing to have an HVAC and airflow. Let's actually just design it in. And that saves so much electricity use. So, it's not just a building that'll house, quite a lot of people who we need to keep in our community because they're workforce, they've got families, they've been here for a long time. I mean, these are us. But it's also a statement of we can do so in a way that's responsible for the climate, and it's well sited, and it's going to be a fantastic development.
One last question for you, John Morrow. And by the way, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, who somehow makes it here every Thursday by whatever means possible, once from a hospital bed, this time from, his front yard on a telephone, and never misses a beat. So I was wandering through the Port Townsend website earlier today, and I noticed the call out for community discussion on the golf course, inevitably labeled a city tease off on community discussion.
Well, hey, we're hitting it right down the center on this one, mm-hmm. I think. It's actually something that we're kicking off this year, and I'd put it in the same category of top priority. It'll span this year and next. Our relatively new director of Parks and Recreation Strategy, Carrie Height, has been really thinking this through and came to council and workshop session this past workshop to talk through an engagement approach with the community. So again, no decision, no, this is the direction we want to go, but let's set the table for a way that we can talk as a community about this 58-acre community asset and whether or not its current use is the best use. And if so, let's make that decision proactively instead of just falling into it. And if not, maybe there's other creative uses and ways that we can maximize its benefit for everybody. Let's have the conversation. Now, we might go through a 6-month 8-month process and be right back where we started and say, you know, it'll stay a golf course forever. We might say that we can add other things alongside, or we might actually, you know, be convinced to change the use. But it'll all be dependent upon who shows up, what kind of ideas are on the table. And I'm excited about this one because I think it's about, you know, what could be. Let's get ideas there. We're going to have landscape architect on board to sketch out what's possible. We've got a great stakeholder group, including the golf community, having this conversation. You know, it's going to be one that draws into 2023 with a likely recommendation from the stakeholder group, and after all the engagement and all the charrettes, back to City Council in the spring. So, you know, that's one that's probably at the top of the list. The other one that's going to kick off very similar in time is going to be our financial sustainability task force. And I there are a lot of things I have to do as part of my job, and that's to keep the city in the black. It's particularly challenging during these very stochastic, somewhat chaotic times. But, you know, we don't want to just do that these next few years. We want to do that for the next, you know, century. And there are some, really fierce challenges in our way about how we sustain operations of the city indefinitely. And we need to have that conversation. So we paused that for our new finance team to come on board, and we'll likely kick that off around the same time as the budget, not to inform the budget for next year, but to kind of pair alongside it. And we've already appointed, our city council has already appointed 5 task force members to that group. So that's another big priority for this coming year.
So plenty of ways to get involved. Even if you have a special interest, this is the time to make your feelings known. One thing that did catch my eye on the city website was that you're also asking for feedback. I have 1 minute left on the connection to Mountain View. What's the nexus there? Is it simple proximity, or is there something else?
Yeah, no, great question. 60-second answer. Mountain View is proximal to the golf course, as most people know. And so I think we unlock more possibility by bringing those processes together. So what's the best use of Mountain View campus? It's leased by the city from the school district. So clearly the school district is at the table, and we've been having conversations and will do so. But we want to do it in conjunction with the golf course, because maybe there's some creative solutions if you put the whole swath of property and opportunities on the table to walk through, and or maybe not. But I think doing them together allows us to be more creative in a more holistic approach.
Well, that all makes perfect sense to me. John Morrow, always a pleasure. It's been a long time. And Taylor Clark out somewhere in the Salish Sea.
lucky him.
Lucky him. And always a pleasure to speak to you, John. I hope we can do it again. And we'll be back. Somebody will be back next Thursday. I'm looking
Missy
at
Nielsen.
Missy Nielsen. There we go. Luckily, I have Jim Burke in the studio with me.
The board.
And Jim Burke.
So, God have mercy on my soul.
It's it'll be a team effort tomorrow, but either
mercy
way, I know you will be here. So thank you, John.
You bet, Tim. It's always great to see you. Thank you, KPTZ, and all the listeners out there.
Okay, bye.